Good morning. Glad you're here, packed in, close to your neighbor, yes. I got my dress pants on for Easter. I figured if Jesus can rise from the dead, I can put on a pair of dress pants. How about that? Actually, obviously we're celebrating this morning, that the resurrection of Jesus is the most important, greatest event in human history. All of history turned on the resurrection of Jesus. But I'm not taking anything away from that historical fact. The goal this morning from Romans 6, that's why Tracy invited you to turn there, is to see that the resurrection is more than just a historical fact and event. That the resurrection of Jesus has huge implications for our life today, right now. So let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, we have six kids. None of them were married at that time, so we had a van that we'd put all eight of us in. We went to Pennsylvania, where I'm from. We went to my brother's house for dinner. We pulled in the driveway. He lives on some property, a barn, and that sort of thing. Kids were excited to see their cousins. They jump out, run around the side of the barn to see their cousins. I jump out, run around and see my brother. My wife, Jackie, dutiful mom, always trying to clean up after. And so she's trying to organize things in the van, get some stuff that needs to be taken into the house. So she has it all loaded up when she's done. She's got an armful, but she needs to close the van. So she puts her left hand and then reaches across. You see what's coming, reaches across the van, and because it's one of those old Chevy Astros, big like refrigerator vans, the windows in it, pulls it with all of her might, and right, not the end of her finger, right on, like below the first knuckle, her middle finger. So don't ask, she'll flip you off. And it's so hard, so tight. She, of course, in pain, immediately tries to pull it out, but it's stuck so bad she can't pull it out. So then she's trying to get the door open, and she can't for whatever reason get the door open, but realizes it's locked. Her ever-loving, protective husband is off visiting brother. Kids are out, and she is stuck to the van, crying for help, and nobody can hear her. The next day, no, just teasing. Finally, one of the kids hears mom, runs down, sees what's happening, runs to get me. I run back, and she's like, open the car, my finger's stuck. And I look through the passenger window, and the keys are in the ignition. Yeah, oh my God. And I froze, I didn't know what to do. And I said, foolishly, there's a spare set at mom's 20 minutes away. And she cussed at me.
No, she did.
Not audibly, anyway. My brother, much more clear thinking, runs into his barn, grabs a crowbar. My van, not his. Grabs a crowbar, puts it between the two doors, pries open, and she, crying, pulls her finger out. It's bleeding. It's purple. It immediately swells up, and she's like nauseous. And the rest of the night and forevermore, you know what she tells me? You suggested there was a spare set at mom's. But your brother saved me. That's all true. Seriously, but imagine this. Next morning, I'm getting my coffee, and I look out, and she's out there again, finger in the door, waving. Now, imagine. Okay, so save yourself. And you're like, ah. And what are you doing? She said, well, man, your brother was so awesome, I thought I'd slam it in there again so he could be great and deliver me again. What? Yeah. See, if I do it, the more I do it, then the more he delivers me, the greater he is. And we could make like a necklace of a crowbar. And you could write like a song, Hallelujah for the Crowbar. Now you're going, what? That's stupid. Actually, it's not stupid. It's the very question that Romans 6 starts with. If you have your Bible open, Romans 6 starts with this question. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? In other words, should we still keep getting ourselves stuck so that the deliverer would be great again and again and again and again? Because it is true, correct, that the grace of God is that while we were sinners, enemies of God, deserving of wrath, Christ died for us. He did the unthinkable. So it is the grace of God that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So if that's true, the question is a genuine question. Why not just keep sinning more and more so that grace would be greater and greater? That's not a silly question. But there's a very clear answer. What's it say in your Bible? Should we continue to sin so that grace may increase? He goes, may it never be. And then he answers with this question. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And in answering with that question, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? The Bible is telling us something amazing and impactful about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the grace of God is great, but it's not made greater by the sinning more. The greatness of grace is not that you keep sinning, but what? That you died to sin. But many of us know Christ died for us, but don't know that we died to sin. Do you hear what I just said? It's very possible that you know that Christ died for you, but you don't know that you died to sin. How do I know that that's a common place? I didn't know that. How do I know that? Look at verse 3, first five words. Or do you not know? Don't you know? Yeah, all of chapter 5 had been, yeah, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we're ungodly and helpless, God sent his son for us. So we know that Christ died for us, but the question this morning is, do you know that those who have trusted in Jesus have died to sin? So that there's not making Jesus greater by continuing to sin. It's by living as one who has died to sin. So how did it happen? How did we die to sin? And what's it really mean to live a life as one who's died to sin? Here's what the text says about how it happened. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Now, we're going to work through all 11 verses of the Romans 6, but I want us to pause here and start with, when we believed in Jesus, this is what he's saying, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you died to sin. When you believed in Jesus, the picture there is, he says, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus. What he's simply saying is, any person who is baptized into a person, like folks had followed John the Baptist and were baptized by John the Baptist, they were saying, we believe in what he is saying. And then Jesus began to preach. And then as he preached, the disciples baptized, and they were saying, by being baptized by them, we believe in what Jesus is saying. So when he says, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, he is saying, when you believed in Jesus Christ, you died to sin. How? I'm going to run through this really quickly. So if you like to take notes, I'm going to challenge you here to keep up. All right? Here's the progression of thought. When we believed in the death of Jesus to be our payment for sin, which was what Romans 5 is all about, we died, and this is key, we died with Jesus. When we believed in the death, it says we died with him. Why? Because he is our substitute. He died in our place. We tend to think of he died in our place so that we wouldn't have to die, but it'd be more accurate to say when he died in our place, we died with him. And if we died with him, what did the text say? If we died with Jesus by believing in the death of Jesus, then we are buried with Jesus. That's what it said there in the text we just read. If we died with Christ, then we have been buried with Christ. And if we have been buried with Christ, you tracking? If we've been buried with Christ, then we have been, what would come next? Is what it says. Then we have been raised with Jesus. See, the key here is when I believe in Jesus, then what he has done on my behalf, so it is done for me, and I am in him, in death, in burial, and in resurrection. By believing in him, here's a key word in the text, I have been united with him, made one with him. By believing in him, I've been united with him. And if I've been united with him, I'm freed from sin. You follow the progression? Don't you know that if you've believed in Jesus, you've died to sin. In other words, you've been freed from sin. How'd that happen? Well, by believing in him, you became one with him so that when he died, you died. And when he was buried, you were buried. And when he was raised, you were raised. It's all about three words. United with Christ. I have died to sin when I've believed in Jesus because I've been united with him and he died to sin, it says, once for all. We'll see this as we go on the text. But this is the progress, the logic of if we believed in Jesus, we died to sin, we are freed from sin. How? Because being united with Christ, what's it mean? What's it mean that we've died to sin? If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and how did we become united with him? By believing in him. That his death was for me. That his resurrection was for me. If we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly. In other words, equally, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be, because we've been, three words, united with Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. Why? For he who has died is freed from sin. Well, you didn't die, but you actually did die when he died and you believed in his death on your behalf. See, this is the gospel. That Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. I couldn't free myself from sin because I had sin. But he who was without sin became sin for us, so that if we would believe in him, his death would be my death, and therefore his resurrection would be my resurrection. This is why what we celebrate today isn't just a past historical event. It matters today. Because I am in him when I believe in him. So, freed from sin in two specific manners. United with Jesus. That's the key words here. United with Jesus. Not all people. Those united with Jesus, we are freed from the penalty of sin. We're freed from sin because of the death of Jesus, and our believing in the death of Jesus unites us with Jesus so that we're free from the penalty of sin, and the penalty of sin is death. So what are we saying? To believe in Jesus is to be freed from death. Death is separation. When a person dies, their body is separated, their physical body is separated from their soul and spirit. Death is separation. If a person's spouse dies, they grieve because we were one and now we are separated. Death is ultimately at core separation. Spiritual death is that I, created to be in relationship with God, the penalty of sin is that I am separated from God. And therefore, death, prior to being united with Jesus, death meant eternal separation from God because of my sin. But when I believe in Jesus and his death became my death, and I'm united with him by faith, the death that once meant eternal separation from God now means the exact opposite, eternal life with God. Huge change. Eternal separation from God to eternal life with God. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. And believing in it unites me with him. His death becomes my death so that his life can become my life. Now, I know many of you may go, yeah, I know this. Good review, Doug, thanks, but I know this. I want to put this super practical at this moment. If all of this is indeed true about being united with Jesus, frees us from the penalty of sin, and the penalty of sin is death, then if I am united with Christ, I no longer need to fear death. And yes, my friend, that changes life. And church, I think we've lost the simple, profound, transformational reality that I don't need to fear death. I think we live in a culture that fears death so much and tries to avoid death and doesn't want to look at death and wants to, if somebody dies, somebody has to be at fault. We have to blame somebody. And we have bought into this and we have lost the simple gospel truth that if I am in Christ, I don't need to be afraid to die. In fact, if I am in Christ, I can genuinely engage in life with this manner. To live is Christ and die, gain. Okay, again, I know you know, but ask yourself, Is that the way you see death? Gain? Oh, sad for those that I'll leave. Sad when somebody I love, I'm separated from them. But I am so compelled for us this morning to embrace the reality that we can live completely counterculture to the fact that I'm not afraid to die. I wonder if you'd be willing to say this out loud. If you have been united with Christ in his death through faith in him, I don't need to fear death. Can you say that? I don't need to fear death. Yeah. Can you say it? I mean, out loud, because I know you think it, but we think lots of stuff that's not true. Speak it out loud. I don't need to fear death. I think we would live differently if we didn't fear death. And the power of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is, I don't need to fear death. Why? Because Jesus freed me from that which makes death sting. Eternal separation from God. So let me be clear. If you're not united with Jesus by believing in his death to be the payment for your sin, you ought to be terrified of death. Seriously, you ought to be terrified of death apart from being united with Jesus through faith in his death. Because death for the person who is not united with Jesus is indeed eternal separation from God. Now, I don't know how to describe that to you in any better way than to say, think of the very, very, very worst day of your entire life. Multiply by 10 billion and make that day forever. The day that you would want to never live again, multiplied by 10 billion and live it forever, that will be eternal separation from God. I think we lose it. There's a real, genuine place that the Bible calls hell, complete separation from God. That is our penalty that we deserve apart from being united with Jesus through believing in his death. But can I then turn it and go, but if you have believed in Jesus, what does death mean? The gain of eternal life with God. The best day. This is more fun. The best day. The best day of your life times 10 billion. And that day repeated forever. And we probably even touched what heaven is. See, the power of what we're celebrating is that we can be saved from eternal separation from God and no longer fear death. Stark reminder this week. Jackie said, early in the morning I was reading and she had the news on. She was like, Doug, there's a bridge like in Baltimore that fell. And I thought like Julieton Creek Bridge. And I looked up and I was like, what? I mean, I grew up in that area. Like, what? And I rewound it and watched and rewound it and watched, and then I could see the blinking lights on the trucks of the guys who were working the bridge. And I know you thought this, that it wasn't like that. It was start to crumble, then go, and I don't know if you did. I put myself in that truck. You got enough time to think, oh no. And in that moment, Believing in Jesus makes a difference. And not believing in Jesus makes a difference. So resurrection, the death of Jesus, it happened. But it has profound implications for the way we live our day. As none of us know what 9:30 tomorrow morning holds. We no longer need to fear death. Second, united with Jesus, we're not only freed from the penalty of sin, we are freed from slavery to sin. Freed from slavery to sin. Go back to our text. We stopped at verse 5, pick it up in verse 6. We already read verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. What that simply is saying is this, that we need not be any longer, if we're united with Jesus, we need not be mastered by our desires or our destructive behaviors. That's a powerful sentence, friends, because look at the ruin in our world. Look at the collapse of people's lives and families and culture and communities and the addictions. This year, I think more than any other year, I've just been so burdened by how alcohol is ruining people's lives and their marriages, and they're just living undercover with it. And drugs, and fear, and greed, how lust is destroying marriages. And that's not just outside the church. That's we experience it. We see it. And I want us to go, do we not know? Don't you know that the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is set you free from those destructive behaviors? You are not a slave to your desires any longer. That's the power of the cross. That which has ruined your life does not need to keep ruining your life. In simple terms, I want us to know that united with Jesus, we can change. But there's so much attempt to change apart from being united with Jesus. And we always come up short and it doesn't work and we wonder, well, why can't I change? And we can't change until our hearts have been changed by the death, burial, and resurrection, that we would become united with him so that then our slavery to sin would be broken and the alcohol that is ruining our life doesn't have to continue to rule our life. See, what is ruined has ruled and it doesn't have to rule any longer because of united with Jesus, we're freed from slavery to sin. And so let me quote the text, or don't you know? See, I didn't know. There was a time in life where I knew that what Jesus did for me got me out of hell and into heaven, and I was grateful. But I had no sense that what Jesus did for me made a difference, not just when I died, but how I could live. That I did not have to be ruled by my own desires. That even greater hope that united with Christ, that we can change is this, is that united with Christ, we will be changed. See, this is the evidence that I know when someone has been united with Christ. He says, if you've been united with me, if you're in me, you're a new creature. You will be changed. Old things will pass away. New things will come. The evidence that God has indeed set us free is in the change that happens. It's not only that I can change, it's that I will be changed. That's the power, present day, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Pick up the text, verse 8. He just keeps saying it over and again. Hey, don't you know, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So now he's going to move from this idea of I've died with him, now I can also live with him. Why? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And if I have been united with him through belief in him, then death is no longer master over me. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now, track with me. The life he now lives, he lives to God. And if I've believed in him in death, burial, and resurrection, united with him, now the life that I live to him. Which is why he concludes this paragraph with, even so, consider yourselves, if you've been united with him, to be what? Dead to sin. Don't need to fear death. I can change because he will change me. And alive now to God. Dead to sin and alive to God. So united with Jesus, we're empowered to live new lives. Yes, united with Jesus, my penalty has been paid. I don't need to fear death. United with Jesus, I can change. I'm not a slave to sin any longer. And united with Jesus, we're empowered to live new lives. Let me give you three quick statements. I'm not going to unpack them for us. I just want us to see what it means to live a new life unto God. That looks like, well, this is what we looked at earlier, so we too might walk in newness of life. It looks like that we can love. See, to live now, dead to sin, but alive to God, means that I can now walk in a new love, a love as he loves me. I can now forgive as he forgives me. And I can be holy as he is holy. I know that's a lot to write down. But the point is this. It's the power of grace emphasized when I just keep sinning and God keeps forgiving me? No. The power of grace is that I now live dead to sin, unafraid of death, and being changed by the indwelling Christ and walking now in new love, new forgiveness, and new holiness. That's the power of grace. That's what makes grace great in my life, is that I'm not the old person, and I am actually not just not the old person, I am a new person walking in newness of life. And I simply wanted to highlight these three. Love, forgiveness, and holiness. Because can you imagine, seriously, can you imagine living a life where you love as he loves you? You love your spouse like Christ loves you. You love your kids like God loves you. You love your neighbor like God loves you. You love your coworkers like God loves you. You love your enemies like God loves you. Can you imagine that? And people who don't love you like you love them, like God loves you, and they're rude to you and mean to you and cruel to you and lie about you, and you forgive them the way God forgives you. Freely. You don't make them pay. You don't forgive them once they finally earned it. You don't withhold it until they deserve it. You're not bitter and angry and ignore and hate. But you love, and when you're unloved, you forgive. And then you walk in holiness. That your life is marked by purity and goodness and righteousness. I can't see in your head, but can you imagine living life like that? See, I see it for some of you. I want that to bring a smile to your face. Do you realize how good life would be if we genuinely loved as we've been loved, forgiven as we've been forgiven, and we're holy as he is holy? Do you realize how good life would be? Friends, are you tracking with me? We don't have to imagine that. That is what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has made possible for us. What are the three key words? United with Christ. When I'm united with Christ, I can love as he is loved, forgive if he's forgiven me, and be holy as he is holy, unafraid of death, and actually being changed by him. So I prayed that when we walked out the door this morning, here's what we would think. I always knew I should, but now I know I can. I just lived too long under, I know I should, I just can't. And I can, apart from three words, but united with Christ. But this is the power of the gospel. This is what it means for us to live in relationship with God, unafraid of death, being changed by him, and loving, forgiving, and living holy lives like him, because we have been united with him. I don't want to just imagine it. I want to walk out knowing I should, which I've always known. You should change. I know I should change. You should. I know. I could for a while. And then it would die. You can. United with Christ. Let me invite you to bow with me. And let me first simply invite you to ask, have you ever believed in Jesus, his death, to be your death? I want to invite you right now, in this moment, to tell him, Lord, I need you to do for me what I could not do for myself, to pay the penalty for my sin, to break my slavery to sin, to make me holy so I could live holy. Would you, in this quiet moment, declare your belief in Jesus and your need for him? And I know some are experiencing the ruin of a life ruled by addictions. And I want to invite you, stop trying to change yourself and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, to be united with him, and to change you, to do for you what you could not do for yourself. Lord, we celebrate your resurrection this morning, knowing that it is the hope that we can walk in newness of life, that we can be ones who love and forgive and live holy lives supernaturally. And we want to revel in your grace, a grace that has set us free from slavery to sin. Thank you for it. Let me invite you to stand and let's give God praise for his great grace.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made chains, I'm a prisoner, no more. My shame was a ransom, be faithfully born. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend.
Services, just ask some questions. We would love to answer those for you. We know how good the new life in Christ is, that he has redeemed me, and I can tell you, it has changed my life. And I know that can be true for you. So just ask the question. And he gives abundant, abundant grace to those who would come to him. So I hope you have a great day. I'm really glad you're here again. God bless you. We'll see you next time. See you next week.